This reading is from the second book of Samuel, 7th chapter. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is from the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed her. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, our sermon this morning is titled, "Jump for Joy." This is the Sunday of joy. So the pressure's on. Everybody be happy. And we laugh, but that's what happens at Christmas time for a lot of people. The pressure is on. Don't be sad. You're such a wet blanket. But the truth is, we can't automatically determine and switch on and off our emotions. And so for most people, when they hear joy, there can be some pressure. I mean, there's a lot to do with Christmas, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff you got to get done. Busy, 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 work, 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 boom, 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 and the weather gets bad and there's a 3-hour traffic jam at Eastview Mall and what do you do? Well, for starters, you take another look at the word joy, because happiness is a feeling, joy is a choice. Now, we had last Easter, we videotaped, or it's not videotape anymore. We DVD'd our Easter celebration, and part of it, some of you might remember, was Claudia Petoniak standing up here and talking about joy. And she said that whereas misery will walk with you anywhere you want to go, joy is up on a shelf, and you have to consciously reach for it and take it down, because it's the only way you'll get it. And I thought that was so beautiful when I saw it. I thought I'd have her preach this morning, but I don't see her here, so I guess I'll have to give the message instead. Joy is a choice. And you can be devastated, sad, and miserable, and joyful simultaneously. You can. It's possible, and it's done. How is it done? And how can you choose joy? Well, our two readings today speak a little bit about that. When you put them together especially, because I'm coming back down, it's just too freaky. Because David was king. I mean, this guy was the youngest son in a Jewish family, which back then meant he wasn't going to get nothing. He was the kid that the punk they sent out to watch the sheep. You know, there are lions out there. And so you send your son out to watch the sheep, and don't get eaten, son, and you don't know if you're going to see him again or not. But he was just a lowly shepherd boy, picked by God to be king of Israel. Heady stuff in and of itself. But David continually messed up throughout his life. He made some real poor choices. We got adultery, we've got murder, to name just two. Breaking two of the Big Ten. And this is after he was made king. After he was, you know, God's anointed one. Woo! And even then he was still making mistakes. Even then he still messed up. Even then he didn't quite measure up. He didn't have a clue sometimes. His first impulse was not really a good impulse. It's true. And he's sitting there on his throne, and he thinks to himself, you know, God has done all this for me. God has given me all this in my life. And the ark, the place where we worship God, is sitting in a tent while I'm in a beautiful home. This can't be. And his main prophet, Nathan, who's about to get a real upgrade in his own living quarters, he can see it, says, go ahead, do what you want to do. But then God turns around and says, no, don't do what you want to do. I don't need you to build me a house. I don't need you to do all this for me. That would come later, but not with David. So you might think, and it says elsewhere in the Bible, that there was too much blood on David's hands, or he wasn't quite worthy to build the temple. But that's not what God says to David. God says to David, I'm going to build you a home. I'm going to do great things for you. I am going to bless your life. I am going to bless your time on earth. I am going to build so much for you, David, that they'll be talking about you still 3,000 years later. God was true to God's word. So God builds this lovely home for David and this lovely life for David. Not because David deserved it, but because God loved David. So several centuries go by. David's kids, boy, especially his grandkids, they messed up big time and Israel fell apart, David's kingdom, everything, and were left with a downtrodden people, occupied by a foreign force. It's so bad that you can be like 8 months pregnant and have to get on a donkey and ride several miles through the wilderness to go to a town for some stupid census. I mean, that's how bad it is for their life. But before that happened, there's a young girl, Mary, she's probably about 15 years old. Anyone here 15? 15-year-olds? There's one. Aaron, where are you? You're 15. Yeah. Very good. Yeah? You been there? 30 years ago, I was there. 15-year-old girl walking along and has an angel come to her and greet her like she's some kind of royalty. Now, she's just this poor betrothed kid. She's nothing in the grand scheme of things. And this heavenly being comes along and treats her like a queen. And she says, what's up with that? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say, what's up with that? And the angel tells her, insignificant little dot of a teenager that she is, that God is just so wrapped up in her that God is going to bring the Savior of the world through her. Now, if you're 15 and you're not married, that is a rather complicated proposition. But what does Mary say? Here I am. Do with me as you will. Wow. Now, if God told me I was going to be pregnant, if God told me my 15-year-old daughter was going to be pregnant, but Mary, right away, boom, yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do this. And here's the two principles you got to remember if you want to have joy in your life, even if you're not feeling good, even if times are not good for you. Principle number one is the principle of David. God loves you in your own way, in a way only God can love only you. God loves you deeply and dearly and is watching you. And knows your struggles, knows your flaws and your sins. There's no sense trying to scrub yourself clean in front of God. God knows all that stuff. And still, God loves you. It's kind of like your mom for most of us. You can be the biggest jerk in the world, can't I, Mom? But you still love me, don't you? Very good. Or your grandparents, maybe. Somebody in your life. I hope you have someone in your life that loves you in that unconditional way. You do have someone in your life that loves you in that unconditional way. God! God loves you so much, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. Boom! There it is. So the first step in having joy in your life is recognizing that you are a unique child of God that God loves deeply. And the second step is the hard one. That is to say to God, here I am, do what you will. Now that's crazy, and it leads to some crazy stuff. But when you say, here I am, do what you will, good things follow. Mixed in with all the tough and rough and bad, and God certainly does not save you from your trials. God did not save Mary from her trials. But to open yourself in that way to possibilities, to open yourself to be a blessing to others and let God bless you, it's the second secret to joy. Now, I told you earlier that Betty Pratt passed away. She passed away just this last weekend. She's 81 years old. But Betty Pratt almost passed away 36 years earlier. She's an amazing lady. She was coming home from work on February 4th, 1965. She had just worked at the Veranda restaurant right here that's now apartments. She was driving home. She was driving a new Rambler. Remember the Rambler? She's driving a new Rambler, and she didn't really know it well. She's on Canaan Road. She slides out, and bam, bad accident. She crawls from the wreckage with a smashed kneecap, all kinds of banged up, and she's going to try to crawl to a house. She wants to live. She's got kids. She's got a husband. She's got a life. She wants to live. And she crawls and she crawls, and she doesn't make it. But I believe it was a snowplow driver. Someone found Betty And they got her to the hospital. She lost a finger. She lost a kneecap. She had terrible scars on her legs. They thought she was dead. They thought she was done for. And there was something inside that woman, with all those kids, with a life, face it, if you're working at the veranda, you're not rich. There was something inside that woman that gave her a fight that kept her going. It was joy. It was joy. Joy within a hard life. Joy within all kinds of tough times. But a joy that would not be quenched. And she lived to see her grandchildren. She lived to see her great-grandchildren. She lived to see her children's successes and failures as well. She lived another 36 years, almost 37, after the time when they about gave her last rites. And I'm here to tell you that no matter your struggles, no matter your difficulties, you were built for joy. But you got to jump for it. You can't just sit there and wait for it to come to you. You can't just stand there and look at it up there and say, I wish I had it. If you want joy, you have to jump for joy. You have to fight for joy. You have to decide. You have to make a choice that no matter how sad, no matter how hurt, no matter how desperate you are, you know God loves you, and you know God has plans for you. And reach, reach the reason for the season. Jump for joy. Amen.